Radio, CIUT 89.5, the sound of your city.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. Today we're going to be speaking to Zafa Ben-Gash, Crescent International, Authority on Matters in the Middle East. And we need, of course, this. We've been talking to him frequently later, which is a sign, our listeners will know, that the world is wrestling with some big problems in territory in which Zafar Ben-Gash is particularly knowledgeable. And so we're very fortunate to be talking to him. We'll call the item, Let Me Get This Straight, which is having to do with Gibraltar, the seizure of an Iranian vessel, and more recently, the Strait of Hormuz. And when we say let me get this straight, we mean the American and Western and British empires. They think that the straits of the world, look at the map, and wherever you find a sensitive waterway, you will find British or American ships, and sometimes a Canadian ship. Recently, for the fun of it, to help out with talks between Canada and China, Canadian Navy sailed through the Strait of Taiwan to see if they could make everything a lot worse. And I think they succeeded. But this is the muscle gang, so we're going to be talking about that issue and something we really do need to get it straight. I think there's little matters like international law. The Taylor Report wants to point out, by way of news, the non-aligned countries are having a meeting at the moment in Caracas, Venezuela. So when the voice of the leadership of the Islamic Republic on this issue is being heard first and officially, it is to the non-aligned states that are meeting in Venezuela. The non-aligned states make up two-thirds of the world's nations. It is not being reported here. It is not in the Globe and Mail, except by accident. They wanted to quote Minister Zarif, so he said this. He was in Venezuela, and at the non-aligned meeting. No report on the meeting itself. I suspect that those two-thirds of the world's nations have probably passed a resolution complaining about the British seizure of Iranian vessels and the high-handedness of piratical behavior of the U.S. and Britain. By the way, if you heard the knock, that's Phil Conlon. How are you doing, Phil?
Yes, good afternoon, Phil. I gave a little knock.
But, yeah, a little knock. So said, bang, I'm here.
By the way, that's more noise than the press is making about this meeting.
Yeah,
though, isn't
they've got
the rule of silence.
The rule of silence on two-thirds of the world's nations meeting because they like the word non-aligned, because they are tired of being bullied, and they want also to be heard. And meeting, by the way, it is being reported in Russia. It is being reported in China, in case you did. But because they are respected there, this is a little detail, they're respected there. This is, as you know, if you are raised and bred in the bone of the British Empire, you know that unless if it doesn't come from London or Washington, it really doesn't matter. So this is what happens. Which brings us to another matter we want to make sure we do today. We have a little joke here that we often do. We're like the ordinary person. We read the sports section first. And we do that because in the sports section, we find a lot of politics, a lot of politics. And let's go to Mr. Shane Lowry, who is from the Republic of Ireland. And Shane Lowry won the British Open. And as fate would organize this, we often wonder, the hidden hand, how did it happen? There are Irish golfers from that British entity, Northern Ireland, who have won. But on this occasion, they had not had the British Open in Northern Ireland in so many years. And on the time that they do it, who wins? Shane Lowry, who I occasionally want to call Shane Mosley, another champion from another sport. But anyway, And you think it's not political. Well, guess what? Shane Lowry went to a pub and sang a song, and we have him doing it. So we're going to play it now. Shane Lowry, winner of the British Open, leading a number of other happy people.
Yeah, so of course, it's a pub in Ireland, so unlike pubs in other parts of the world, the punters, as they call them, can sing a song. The song they're singing, actually, is about a fellow who was deported to Australia by his British masters for having taken the Lord's corn to feed his children, and he got caught. Mm-hmm. And so the song is his farewell as he's being boarded on a boat to be sent off to Botany Bay in the 1830s, right? And this is what the champion golfer chooses to lead, a very, very happy group of people singing while he's waving his trophy in the air.
If they could find some way not to report that, I think that they would have the media shut down.
Well, folks, find it on YouTube before the British
go and
do
get it.
It.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, we have one of our editors, a Thermidor of type of sorts, who called it to our attention very rightly and made sure that we got it up, and everybody should see this. And because it does, it leads you to the fields of Athenry, which is. Phil, you pointed out, this is an important historical crime, never answered for that I'm aware of, this is the difficulty of how we speak of Ireland. The New York Times had a curious headline. They said he won the British Open on the island of Ireland. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
That's a configuration that
that's new, yeah.
On the
island of Ireland.
On the island of Ireland.
Right. And well, there is such an island.
I guess so.
Yeah, but it's not usually acknowledged by the American British press, who would have you believe there's the part run by the barbarians and there's the part that still accepts British civilization. That's how they usually like to
think of it.
Yeah, or describe it.
By the way, there is the full song itself, and for the pleasure of our listeners who are awaiting our interview with Zafar Bangash, we want you to hear, it's a political story as a romance, but I tell you, it hits you in the chest right away.
By the lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling, Michael, they have taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Lola, fields of Athen Rye, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wings, we had dreams and songs to sing, so lonely round the fields of Athen Rye. Prison wall, I heard a young man calling. Nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebel, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Lie the fields of Athen Rye, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wings, we had dreams and songs to sing, so lonely round the fields of Athen Rye. Star falling as the prison ship sailed out against the sky. For she lived to hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay, so lonely round the fields of Athen Rye. Hello. Fields of Athen Rye, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wings, we had dreams and songs to sing, so lonely round the fields of Athen Rye. Lo-lie the fields of Athen Rye, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wings, we had dreams and songs to sing, so lonely round the fields of Athen Rye. So lonely round the fields of Athen Rye.
Ah, that's quite a song. The song, Phil, makes reference to Lord Trevelyan. He's the gentleman who said that the deaths from famine in Ireland was a visitation by God upon the Irish for their sins. Mm. And he was in charge of the relief, but he didn't want to give it out because it violated the principles of the free market. His name comes up in the song, and it's just wonderful that this golfer, 150 years later, is singing that song.
Yeah, the singers, by the way, were the brothers Burke,
yeah,
and it's the Fields of Athen Rye. Yeah. I hope that Shane Lowry's victory and his decision to sing that song with all of his mates would inspire us to go to the song and to, you see, it opens the door to a lot of history and contemporary politics, since we're now coming up against the question, given the talk about Brexit, of what happens with that border. Is it going to be a hard border? This is important. And, you know, as I say, they didn't call off sports, and sports has a way of intruding, imposing, and suddenly raising questions. we have the heavyweight champion of the world now, is a Mexican-American who, of course, identifies himself as Mexican and says, I am the world's first heavy Mexican heavyweight champion of the world, baby. And he has won it fair and square from the tallest, strongest, most belt-bearing heavyweight, Anthony Joshua, knocked him out, stopped him, as they say. Anthony decided that he'd had enough that evening and would retire to take a shower rather than continue what was happening to him. These things turned out to be very important. I actually have an odd one to add. Yesterday in London, they had the Diamond track and field. And as you know, track and field every 4 years actually becomes the premier sport of the world, because that is one thing everybody in the whole world understands. The fastest person, the strongest, the one who throws the object the furthest. And the 200 meters was won by a Chinese runner. And, you know, we fall into stereotypes thinking about sports and, oh, these people dominate that. Well, who knew that the world 200-meter champion was going to be from China? And, you know, bless him. I mean, because actually the ball had been passed back and forth between the United States and Jamaica, Trinidad. These were the premier sprint countries. I just happened to see it. I was very, very impressed.